Hi, Mike. It's Ben here.
Yep. What's up?
So I thought I'd put together a Best of Series 2 episode.
Fine.
Right, just because I thought people really liked the Best of Series 1 episode we did a while ago. And
yeah, great.
So I just wondered, I'm just doing the intro, really.
I'm on my month off, Ben, so I don't really, it's not going to take long, is it? Because so you've done that, that's fine. I mean, you don't need me, though.
Well, I just thought, because we're not doing a proper intro, because we're not, because as you say, we're on a month off. So I just thought maybe I could ring you and you could just do a bit of, do what you do,
This doesn't really feel like my remit. Then Henry does the art. You do the work side of things,
right?
And I don't really know why I'm there, but that's irrelevant. I mean, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm up to my eyeballs. I can't be recording intros and stuff. I've got a month off. Right, the kids are in school. This is my one bit of time. I'm reordering my Le Carres. I'm sorting my Le Carres out. Okay, and that's. That's an absolute time over.
No, okay, no, I do get that.
Because I'm trying to, I've done alphabetical in the past. I've done chronological. I'm trying to reorder it in order of preference for rereading.
Right.
See, which is tough because the beginning is easy. You've got your Tinker Tailor, your Honourable Schoolboy, much underrated, and Smiley's People. Okay, fine, done, easy. And then it starts getting tricky immediately. You know, what I mean, is it Call for the Dead? Is it Small Town in Germany? I know the Constant Gardener is the bottom one.
And if you've reupholstered the display cabinet, right?
Even then, I'm trying to get that done. What I really want, I want them behind an iron curtain, literally, so I can say I'm going behind the iron curtain. But trying to find someone in Devon that makes iron curtains is an absolute. It's a bloody nightmare, Ben.
Okay, but
I'm doing a lot of miles. I've gone to forges in Knaresborough, blacksmith in Dundee. There's a guy I found in the Isle of Sheppey who reckons to get me into an old steelworks. Do you see what I mean? I'm busy. I don't have time for this.
No, I get it. No, it's okay. I'm really sorry. I rang. I know you said don't contact me under any circumstances for at least a month. So yeah,
unless it's an absolute emergency. Okay, so get on with your work, please, Ben. And I'll see you in December. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Good.
Bye. He's very busy. He's a busy boy. Let's try Henry.
Hello.
Hi, Henry. It's Ben.
Yeah.
So basically, I know it's our month off, and I know, I don't know what you're doing, but I thought I'd make a Best of Series 2 episode.
Yeah, don't care at all. It's the month off, so why are you bothering me?
Well, no, it's just because obviously we're not recording together like normal, so we're not able to do a proper intro.
Yeah, I'm on a yacht, right? I'm on Eamon Holmes' yacht, and I'm trying to relax. That's what I do for this month, yeah? And I'm trying to have a good time. He's lent me his yacht.
Is Eamon there?
Yeah, he's here as well. Yeah, he's lent me. He's also staying on it for the month, which it basically means I have to pay for all the upkeep. But he still gets to he gets to wear the little captain's hat. He gets to stay in the captain's lodge. He basically gets all the usual privileges, but I pay. Obviously, it's a bit of a piss day, so I'm not in a good mood. But I'm trying to maximise it. So we're he's punching. Well, he's. We're wrestling with Marlins at the moment, so I don't want to miss out on the fun, essentially, what I'm saying. So,
that's okay. I think, okay. Well, I just wondered if you had a couple of words just, for the listener, thank you for listening.
Who for? For you?
Well, no, to become part of the introduction to the Best of episode.
Sorry, Eamon Hendy, he's wrestling an absolutely massive Marlin. It's absolutely one of the incredible things I've ever seen. I'm basically missing it. They're wrestling on the deck. That's incredible.
Okay. Well, maybe I shouldn't have rung you.
The Marlin's winning. The Marlin is absolutely tasting home. Sorry. So, really keen to move on from this. You want a couple of words?
Yeah.
Was it for you or for the...
For the listener, just to say thank you for listening, that kind of thing.
Yeah, cheers, whatever. Bye.
I'm coming over!
Right, so there we have it. Well wishes from both Mike and Henry there. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this Best of of Series 2.
You know what? It's King Kong, in a way. It's quite weird, isn't it? That film's called King Kong, because surely it's the fact there's dinosaurs there is more interesting than there's a massive monkey.
That's such a good point.
Who cares about the massive monkey? There's dinosaurs. Yeah, I know what a monkey is, just bigger than a monkey. I'm not interested. Sorry,
or at least dinosaur. Let's bring that back on the second trip, shall we?
Yeah, so maybe if we come back, it's nice to come back to the same place sometimes because you really get a feel for it. If we come back, we'll visit the monkey. I don't care if the monkey's got is holding a human woman. Don't care. It's a monkey. Who cares? I don't care if you struck up a sort of weird relationship with the blonde lady. It doesn't matter because
because there's literally a T-Rex over here.
There's literally a fucking T-Rex, mate. Are you fucking joking? You want us to go and see the monkey in his fucking cave? How much does this fucking holiday cost us? It's complete waste. You always ruin holidays. What's the fucking point? It's supposed to be relaxing as well. We work all year. It's supposed to be relaxing. Jesus Christ. It's like going to Peru and saying, oh, should we go and visit the subway? Are you joking? A massive... You've heard it's a really big subway. It's one of the biggest subways, isn't it? Yeah, big monkey. Who cares? I can draw a picture of a f***ing monkey right now and hold it up close to my face, and then it's a big monkey. Oh, great. Now we're fighting the monkey. You want to take it back. You want to take the monkey back to display it to people when there's a f***ing... I can literally see a T-Rex. Just behind you to the left, there's a T-Rex. You want to take the monkey back to America? Are you mad? Sorry, I'm... Piss off. You know what? Sometimes you have to go on holiday to realise that a relationship actually might not be what you wanted. Maybe. I don't know. I'm sorry. Look, let's just both go for a walk separately.
Watch out for the velociraptors, okay?
Watch out for the velociraptors.
I don't want you getting eaten. I'm cross with you. I don't want you getting eaten.
Yeah, I'm really, really pissed off. But I don't... We'll meet back at the hotel tonight. They're doing the international buffet, aren't they?
They're doing paella. And if we don't get there early, they always pinch all the muscles out.
Someone will pinch the muscles and prawns. So look, let's breathe. Let's spend the afternoon separately. We'll meet. Let's still get to the paella thing at 6:30. Let's just get to the paella thing at 6:30 because. I do basically love you. I love you. Still love you. Let's go and see the monkey. Come on. Let's go and take that bloody monkey back to America. Let's do it.
There was a teacher who was in the TA who claimed that he was in the SAS bit of the TA, which I don't know if that exists. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Why would the most elite part of the army have some people who only do it on the weekend?
I know. Most people sort of took it as read that, yeah, he was telling the truth, but it always seemed a bit rum to me.
So if the government has a hyper-secret mission, which isn't that dangerous, but it's very, very secret.
The main SAS.
And will be wrapped up by Sunday evening, because we've got to be back to the school on Monday.
It's got to be wrapped up by Sunday evening. It's going to be quite hard. Yeah. Not impossible, not mega hard. So what we need is...
too hard, and the actual SAS platoon, they've all got an Airbnb in Crete, so they're having a bit of a breather at the moment.
What we need to do is we need to fly a crack squad of TASAS people.
We need a geography teacher. We need a mechanic. We need a nurse auxiliary. Go.
We're going to fly you to Prague, just on a commercial air flight, because it's not that secret. So you have to book that yourself. You'll get in on Friday night.
I would go for Flybe if I were you. Flybe, good carrier.
Flybe are good. The legroom's not a piss take.
You'll get in Friday night. Now, the job doesn't start until 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, so you will have Friday to yourselves, but please don't go too heavy because you do have work the next day.
You do have work the next day. Now,
but you will get a drinks voucher.
Yeah. And £10 per diems. Yeah.
On Saturday morning, your destination is the German embassy. Just next door to it.
there's a coffee shop. Because the mission is not important enough to involve the ambassador.
Well, it's a coffee shop come youth hostel,
isn't
it?
It's a coffee shop come youth hostel, and it's quite near the embassy.
And one of the colonels from the actual army left his phone there when he was on holiday. And your job, if you choose to accept it, and you can choose because you're in the reserve, so you don't have to if you don't want to, is to try and get that phone back, please.
Plus, the whole mission isn't that important, but it's quite important, and it's near the embassy.
He can replace his phone quite easily. It would just be a phone call, really, but he likes the case.
And he hasn't backed up everything to the cloud, yeah. So it's very important that...
Now, he thinks he may have left it inside the box of a board game, because it's a cafe come youth hostel. They've got some board games, I believe, in the communal area. Now, you're going to need your language skills, because these board games may be German language editions. So, for example...
Das Monopoly.
Das Monopoly... Das Scrabble. Das Cluder.
Of course, Kaplunk is a German word.
Kaplunk is already a German word.
But you may have to pluralise it to Kaplunken if there are two to boxes. Kaplunken.
But Kaplunk is one of those wonderful German words. They have a word for everything. And Kaplunk is the noise made when a horse that's heavily laden drops a load of stuff that's been carrying.
No, that's not Kaplunk. You've got mixed up between, what's that, Puppet Pirate? No, what's the one with the donkey? That's something else.
Exactly.
And Kaplunk is the German sound of lots of marbles falling through a sort of the thing with lots of rods through it.
Exactly. And that's why we need that level of expertise. That's why you're in the TASAS.
What's the donkey one called?
The donkey one's called Mr. Banjo or something.
Flipper Hippo?
Is Flip, it? Horsey stress.
Hungry donkey. Mega mules.
No, it's called wackadoodle.
What is it called?
It's called wackadoo.
And you have to put lots of old-timey kind of mining equipment on it.
Kajunkin.
Bucking bronco? Bronco.
Kajunkin.
Pachunkin. What's it called? Buckaroo.
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 Das Buckaroo.
Das Buckaroo.
Yeah, so the colonel, he was staying in the youth hostel because he's not that high up, so he can't just stay in youth hostels. He may have left his phone inside one of the board games when clearing it up at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Possibly. Or you can just not bother.
I mean, he has already said that he really doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind.
If you've got plans this weekend, fair play. Thank you for your service.
Then you will return by hovercraft.
In the dead of night. From Prague. Yeah, it's going to be quite a bumpy journey because it's going to be a hell of a long time before you get to the sea. Yeah.
From Prague, across Germany and northern France.
And it takes diesel, by the way, please. Diesel.
Now, here's your equipment. This is a pencil. Well, it appears to be just a pencil. But if you look at the other end, it has a small rubber on it. You can use this to make any notes, but you probably won't need to make any notes because the mission is pretty simple.
Here is your suicide tablet. We couldn't afford cyanide, so it is paracetamol. You will have to take about 40 of these, and it's going to take a bloody long time. Yeah,
but again, it's very unlikely that you'll need it because this whole mission is of very low interest on an international level.
So please don't take them, whatever you do, unless you've got a bit of a bonce ache.
And this is a lonely planet for Berlin. It's 1997. I used it in my gap year.
And obviously you're going to Prague, so...
But there might be...
You may be able to swap this.
There might be some general tips in it, some general travelling advice. There's normally a bit in the front that's quite good.
There's normally... And also, you know, one European town is very much like another in terms of... you know, they'll probably be... There might be a central square. There'll be cafes dotted around. You could pretty much, you know, map-wise, there's certainly... You know, humans tend to settle cities in a similar... You know, there'll be straight things should be roads... other straight lines will come off and that'll be other roads. So a lot of the principles are the same in terms of the map, which does fold out.
Yeah, but there is a corner missing from when I had to use it to wipe my ass when I was staying in a youth hostel in Bavaria and toilet paper. Or so I thought, but actually I didn't realise that it was on a pole behind the cistern that I hadn't seen.
Yeah. So I took out the... if you're I think it was the municipal baths, the Prague baths,
or the Berlin baths.
again, I don't huge.
You don't see a difference between Berlin and Prague.
I don't massively distinguish between European cities. That's probably why I'm in charge of the TASAS. It gets not seen as being that crucial in terms of distinguishing between cities.
Our motto is plans go wrong. Okay,
plans go wrong.
In fact, in World War II, my father proclaimed that he'd taken Moscow when, in fact, he'd just taken Calais. And that caused great problems across the Western Front.
And also, he hadn't actually taken Calais, so he'd just taken his family to Calais. What turned out to be a really disappointing holiday. It's quite, there's not much to do around there.
It's still quite war-torn.
Still quite war-torn.
But you've got to get away, haven't you? You've got to get away.
You've got to get away.
Even if it's in occupied territory.
Can I say, I had a similar moment at school when Dr. Custance, mm-hmm. who was a biology teacher, was teaching us about plant reproduction. And he had to say the word gonads in front of the class. That was my moment of like, I could see myself knocking about.
Of all boys, right?
Yeah, exactly. A class of boys. So he said, it was with a diagram, and he said, and as you see here, the gonads, and as soon as he said the gonads, the entire class obviously cracked up laughing. It's just the funniest thing that ever happened.
Absolutely.
by miles. And what he did was, he insisted on repeating it from the beginning. He went, excuse me, no, I'll start again. Now, as you can see here, the gonads, and we all cracked up every time. And he did it again and again and again. Getting more and more furious. Exactly. What are you trying to prove, Dr. Custance? And he was trying to prove that the word gonads isn't funny.
That it loses its potency over time.
Yeah.
But he's wrong.
Exactly. And if anything, especially as a teacher of science, he basically just conducted an experiment that proved, you know, beyond doubt.
His null hypothesis.
The word gonads.
This is not funny.
It's actually incredibly funny.
And to think he's conducted that experiment year on year. I mean, you weren't the first.
He knows that's coming every year.
Yeah. Yeah. he's dreading that day. March the 3rd, every year.
Gonad Day. Yeah. And he starts getting grumpy with his family in the 2 weeks before that. And his wife will be talking to the children, just be easy on your father at the moment. You know Gonad Day's coming up. There's the big G, the big sparkly G that we put on the calendar.
But Mum, why doesn't he know gonads is funny? Shh, please. Don't. Harriet, stop it.
Why doesn't he just say it once and then carry on with the lesson?
Why doesn't he just not teach those smirking bastards that bit of the book? Fine, they'll lose a percent in their exams. Forget them. Stuff them.
Exactly.
Skip it out. Move on.
Henry, are you telling me that also that plants have got gonads?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got dicks, they got balls, they got everything. they got plants have got the, it's absolute, it's
they've
hardcore.
Got the full human genitalia.
They've got the full human genitalia.
Uh-oh.
Lewd content warning. Lewd content.
Hey, hey, hey. Daffodils have got foreskins, Ben.
Daffodils have got foreskins. A tulip is basically a circumcised daffodil. They are absolutely disgusting, and they're doing it in plain sight.
3 in 100 sunflowers have got cock rings. That's just
a lot of sunflowers have cock rings.
People weren't talking about it before.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where Prince Albert got the idea.
Oh, Mike, you've mentioned Prince Albert. We can play the new royal jingle I made.
Ho!
Bring it on.
All stand for the king.
We're entering the regal zone. Regal zone. Regal zone.
Off with their heads.
On with the show.
Listen not to the whores and the shopkeepers.
Bring me more advisors.
The regal zone. Regal
zone. I think that maybe for Dr. Custance, he'd be having to, you know, he'd been obviously dreading Gonad Day every year for, he'd been a teacher at that school for at least 20 years. And maybe the day, my Gonad Day, for him was his sort of falling down moment where he was
really?
I can't take this anymore. I'm going to say Gonad over and over again until these children realise that I am a man who deserves respect. So he kept on repeating it, the thing over and over again, right? Every time slightly fewer children laughed.
But then you get that Stuart Lee thing where the laughter dies off, then it comes back
then it comes back again. Then
with the power of repetition. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So it gets less and less funny, and then it starts getting funnier again.
Yeah.
As he becomes more agitated.
As he becomes more agitated. And as it becomes more and more clear that the word gonads is simply, no matter which way you approach it, fucking hilarious. It's a funny word. It's gonads. It's a
funny sounding word.
It's a funny sounding word. And in the lips of, you know, from the lips of Dr. Custance, a slightly sort of befuddled, you know, elderly biology teacher. Himself a man from a previous era, you know, from a different era, a kind of
when gonads were respected.
Well, when gonads was how you greeted people.
Gonads.
Gonads too, my good man.
Gonad Day was a great pagan festival celebrated across the land.
Exactly. When men and women would all dress up as gonads. And they would walk stony-faced through the streets of the villages of Britain.
Dragging a giant gonad. dragging
a giant gonad behind them. And literally no one even cracked a smile, did they?
Yeah.
Bring out your gonads.
And there'd be gonad bands. There'd be where all the instruments were different, were like hollowed out gonads, dried up gonads.
Gonad pies, savoury and sweet.
Yep. Iced gonads for the children.
And gonad mead. Lashings and lashings of gonad mead. Mm.
Sweet, sweet gonad mead. And, you know, a sort of minstrel would tell tales.
The gonadier.
Would gather. Everyone would gather around him and he would tell, the founding myth story of the United Kingdom, which is a giant gonad rose up through the oceans. King Alfred's father, Chief Gonad, rode that gonad up from Atlantis. Surfed across the waves.
Like a gonad popping up in the bath.
like a gonad freshly, you know, enjoying its newfound buoyancy and just popping its head over the surface of the water as if to say, "Hi, I'm a gonad. And there's nothing funny about me." All right. Yep. But yes, so he kept on repeating the gonad, this bit of the lesson, repeated it over and over again. He told us he wouldn't carry on with the lesson until he could deliver the line with the word gonads in it, and none of us laughed. And until that happened, we'd be stuck in what he didn't really think this through, because actually quite an attractive proposition for us. Would be stuck in a situation where Dr. Custance was repeatedly saying the word gonad.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of our school days. Which basically was about as good as it could get. But he kept on repeating the line over and again, getting more and more angry, but eventually the boys quietened down. We all quietened down. Hmm. And basically, eventually, he managed to say the line about the gonads and no one laughed. There was this pregnant pause. Ironically pregnant, as if inseminated by the very gonads of which he spoke.
Beautifully done, Henry.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
Chaucer-esque.
I just pissed myself then. I was the only one who laughed. There was a big pause, and then I just couldn't contain myself, and I absolutely pissed myself. And he punished me. I had to do detention, and I had to write a 4-page sort of treatise on gonads.
No.
Yeah. So wow. I had to write a whole 4-page thing about what gonads are and how they work.
And how they're not funny.
And how they're not funny.
You put all the minstrel stuff in, right?
All the minstrel stuff went in. All that stuff went in. Finding with the United Kingdom, all that stuff went in.
Have either of you ever done something that appears quite a lot in American television? Poker Night with the Boys.
Oh. I've done a Poker Night with the Boys. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I've never been involved in this.
Well, the weird thing about Poker Night with the Boys is, and I think why it's a game which has sort of slightly criminal or sort of dodgy associations, doesn't it, poker?
Sopranos-y.
It's Sopranos-y. It's not like Battleships.
Or, or Uno.
Or Uno. For example.
Tony Soprano never had a good old game of Uno, did he, at any point?
Exactly. And parents don't say, we're very worried about Sam. He seems to be getting in with the Uno crowd. That's not something that happens. I mean,
pick up four, motherfucker.
I've been to a couple of poker nights with the boys, although that was with a couple of friends who had got very into it, like including possibly starting down a slippery slope of getting a bit too into the online version of poker. And I realised I was out of my depth very quickly with that lot.
Well, here's a tip, Mike. I've never actually been to one of these evenings, but I think if you start to feel out of your depth and you're not sure what's going on, you just put down your cards and go, aces high.
Snake eyes.
I'm pretty sure that helps. I'm not sure what it means.
Three hot mummers.
Coming down the chimney. All in.
Texas winds. I feel the Texas winds are coming. Say that kind of thing and then narrow your eyes while you look at the criminal nefarious types around the table. Yeah. Of course, there'll be, by the way, quick rundown of the classic people around a poker table.
Of course.
There will be Stetson Jim. His head is the shape of a Stetson. He doesn't even have to wear one.
Yeah. There'll be Fat Steve, who's like a string bean and smokes constantly.
Yeah. And then there'll be Papushka, a Russian beauty, 17 foot tall, and with fingers as long as legs.
And speaking of fingers, let's not forget Fingers McGinty.
Fingers McGinty, yeah. Who is just a pile of fingers in a plastic bag. Isn't he?
He's more of a warning.
He is more of a warning. And very, very, very hard to read.
Then, of course, there's Raw Dog, Dog McLabrador. recently out of prison, maybe on day release.
And he looks to all the world like an absolutely lovely Labrador, doesn't he? He's got all the features.
He looks like a good boy.
He looks like a good boy. He's got big brown eyes, floppy blonde ears, big, nice, warm, wet tongue, but the body and attitudes of a killer.
Oh, so he's got a Labrador's head, but a human
Labrador's
body.
Human body.
Yeah, that's Raw Dog.
You've got the professor, who's a four-year-old boy.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Who's extremely dangerous.
And then you've got the risk bot 5210/00 /4. Deluxe edition, which comes with the teak finish. Isn't it? And that's just a...
And that's made by IBM.
That's made by IBM. And it's operated by six very, very sweaty scientists. Spooky just happened actually before we said hello today, which is my cat Bluebell
started levitating.
Very, very briefly levitated before landing on the floor again. which she was chasing a small
spider.
And you're saying it's spooky because you said spider in that voice.
I thought that helped.
Or is that how the spider introduced itself?
Arachnid. An eight-eyed arachnophorm.
it was a small one, but from its own point of view, it was pretty big, average-sized.
Okay.
And Bluebell, my cat, was chasing it around.
With an eye to consuming it?
With an eye to consuming it. But the spider, which was only about the size of a pea.
Perfectly round spider.
It was bright green as well. And rolling around under the freezer.
compartment of the fridge. I thought, that's a spider in a Zorb. That's a spider in a non-transparent Zorb. Spiders, they've mastered Zorb technology. They haven't mastered the transparency effect yet.
Yes.
Is there any one explanation?
It was on a stag do.
It was a spider on a stag do, which, you know, for spiders, obviously, they have to make that the night of their lives because they are going to get eaten, aren't they, after...
Oh, and there's a lot of ribald jokes about that.
About the getting eaten.
And also lots of jokes about, hey, let's get legless tonight. Well, you've got eight of them, so let's get drinking. Wait.
Oh.
And what happened with Bluebell and this stag spider?
I was trying to think of a joke to do with the idea of a webinar.
That staple of stank.
You're right. Yeah. It was a
reach.
It was a fool's errand. See, Bluebell was chasing this little spider, tawny little fellow. Now, this spider was a small spider, but he had big ideas because he thought,
"Okay,
I'm going to get across this section of floor to the other side."
Even though there's a cat in
the way, and it turned out that Bluebell had other ideas. Bluebell wanted to dance. A sort of sinister dance macabre of death. With the spider. Yeah, like that. So Bluebell does this dance macabre, where she's... She's kind of up and down and sort of... And the spider...
No, hang on. Before we carry on, can you explain exactly what you mean? So she was faced with the spider and started dancing?
Yeah, that's what she does. When she finds a small insect, she kind of jumps after them and then she kind of backs up and then she's kind of up on her hind legs and then she's down and she's kind of swaying. She's moving a bit like a belly dancer or it's kind of erotic but laced with death, you know, le petit mort.
So she shags the spider.
Oh, they've shagged, yeah, there's no question.
Uh-oh.
Lewd content warning. Lewd content.
Hey. The spider's basically shagged Bluebell. It's a work night, and he's like, I just need to get the fuck out of here, get to work, and I'll process this in my lunch break. Yeah. But what happened last night was absolutely mad.
But it turns out that Bluebell's a kind of Mata Hari character.
Exactly.
A honeypot.
Exactly. So, well, he thinks he's out the door, and he can see the other side. He can see the skirting board where he works.
Yeah. He's thinking his mates are never going to believe it.
He can't wait to get on the WhatsApp group with his mates. And they're not going to believe that he had sex with a giant sort of furry beast, literally about 50,000 times bigger than him. And
with incompatible genitals.
Completely incompatible genitals. And the only slight... you know, fly in the ointment being the fact that the cat had an anal gland problem.
Feline digestive tract talk.
How are Bluebell's anal glands at the moment?
Not great, actually. This is a subset story.
Spooky.
Looking for Halloween dress-up ideas? Why not dress your children as a cat's anal glands?
They'll be the talk of the school. Simply insert your child's head through the aperture or anal ring piece made out of foam. Load up those little piston guns and they can squirt genuine cat anal gland juice at their friends and teachers. What should I do? Finish the spider story or go to anal glands?
Spider. I've got to find out why I'm this.
So basically, Bluebell's dancing.
Back an alien spider.
Bluebell's dancing the dance of the seven veils around this little spider. And what happens is, but then she decides, right, she wants to go for the kill now. She's like, I've had my fill.
Is there a final move that heralds that strike?
The final move is she crouches down with her paws out in front of her and her bum reared up in the air.
Oh man!
Like a sort of the shape of a ski slope of a, you know, those long distance ski jumpers. Jump.
Yeah. I got it the first time.
Okay, and so she's crouching down, bump, yeah, and But what she does is, she does that. So she comes right up to the spider and does that. But the spider, Bleeble has this thing. I don't know, this might be all cats, possibly. I know that babies have the same thing, which is they can't focus on something right in front of them. So then at this point, she comes up to the spider to give the killer blow, but the spider...
it's gone.
And suddenly she's cross-eyed, essentially. the spider then basically cottoned on that the closer it got to Bluebell, Bluebell couldn't see her. This is the kind of cool bit. So the spider then, rather than walking away from Bluebell, started walking towards Bluebell.
Oh, my God.
Because as soon as it got closer, Bluebell couldn't see it. So then the spider was right in front
that's
of Bluebell.
That's so Hollywood.
I know, it was amazing.
Just get closer, then he can't see us.
But that's the opposite of what I want to do. Sometimes that's what you got to do, Charlie. Just like what you didn't do when you drove those children over that cliff. Oh, yeah.
You're saying I should have driven even faster over the cliff?
I'm saying you should have driven under the cliff.
So then, there was this amazing moment where Spider was right in front of Bluebell. Bluebell wasn't moving. What was going to happen next? Bluebell was like, I've lost the bloody spider. Right, fuck it, fuck this, and I'm going to get on with my day. Walked forward, first step, stood on the spider and killed it.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so it goes to show.
Oh.
Sometimes you can overthink these things.
There's a moral there somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
It is.
Sometimes the right thing to do isn't even the right thing to do. Certainly the wrong thing to do isn't either.
Well... Don't have an interspecies one night stand with a British shorthair. I think it's probably the moral of the story.
All right, finally, Mel, this one comes with a theme tune. We've got another theme tune.
Oh, wow.
So Will writes, Hello Beans. Given your skyrocketing fame and popularity, not sure about that, Will, I predict you'll likely be making the move over to the big screen any week now.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. True.
Here's a pitch for your show.
Okay.
Law and Order, Flightless Bird Division.
Yeah.
Mike plays the grizzled, by-the-book captain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, the enthusiastic rookie who recently broke a budgie smuggling ring.
And sexy honey trap time.
Henry, the jaded loose cannon of the team.
What?
Who lost his family to a rear mob attack.
Don't take me back there, goddammit.
I've attached the potential theme tune here. Good luck in Hollywood. So to play us out, here is Will's Law and Order sort of themed version of our theme. Thank you, Will. Thanks to everyone for listening. See you next week.
Thanks, Will.
Cheers all.
Bye.
Ta-ra. Thank you, bye.
Once you're gonna do things by the book, goddammit, Bagger. Meet your new partner, Partridge.
Goddammit, I told you I will not work with flightless birds. Can't you dig up a rookie sparrow somewhere? There's ostrich shit all over my goddamn desk.
I think Dog Romance lacks a bit of finesse on the whole. any sort of congress that involves mounting is unlikely. I mean, the bards don't sing about mounting, do they, on the whole? And lo, he did mount the lady. No, doesn't.
There's no missionary, is there, for dogs? Dogs can't do missionary.
Oh, let's not talk about what sex positions dogs can do, Henry. There's literally one called, named after the way dogs have sex. So,
the poodle grab. I haven't done that for years.
The poodle cup and flick.
Yeah.
The Alsatian rumba.
The St. Bernard mountain rescue.
And the Pomeranian arse munch. Yeah, it's all there. It's all there for the taking.
I tell you, that St. Bernard, what he's got in that little thing, that little mini barrel, it's lube.
Henry.
Yeah?
For the sex-starved alpinist who's just abandoned somewhere in Mont Blanc, I just...
Just want to wank, but my dick is so dry.
I just want to try one last challenging position with my wife before we die of malnourishment and hypothermia. Just one last challenging position.
Oh my god, this is definitely the lewdest this podcast has got.
Well, should we have I think we need a jingle for this. I was just going to say, rather than cut it out, we can use our sticking plaster solution, which is just stick a jingle on it.
Sex jingle.
Sex jingle.
Okay, well, so what we need is from you guys, we need some genres. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a bit of, maybe Mike can voice up
a bit of voice.
What are we calling it?
Lewd content warning. Lewd content or
lewd content warning. Lewd content.
Grubby, grubby boys.
I feel like maybe the sort of traditional Greek folk music that accelerates.
Kind of balalaika.
Accelerating Greek.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Lewd content warning. Lewd content. Content.
Hey, hey, hey! Because also, this is another mini Pompidou. Mm-hmm.
Section.
A lot of children seem to listen to our podcast.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I told you, my nephew and my niece are among their number.
So I wondered whether we were sort of stop swearing and things.
We don't swear that much. Maybe we can beep out the, can we monetize it and do a Patreon kids version?
Hello, everyone!
That kind of stuff.
I think that's why the kids aren't listening, though, is because we're not doing that.
Mr. Bungles, come along! He's got a butterfly! La, 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 la!
Mr. Bungles brought his dog. It's a St. Bernard with a barrel full of lube.
Mr. Bungle and Mrs. Bungle are trying some challenging sex positions before they die.
They've got a high friction sex toy they can't use without the lube. Oh, it's too wide ball for Mr. Bungle. I think that would have the kids switching off in droves.
Oh my god,
in my guess.
Islands. Desert island. Who's lasting the longest? Three of us. We are in a small prop plane, like a Sopwith Camel, that we've stolen from an Air Force museum.
Yeah, we're on the run.
In Hampshire. We're on the run, of course. We are going across the Atlantic. Uh-oh, someone's forgotten to refuel.
Oh.
Henry, that was your job.
So I thought you said defuel. I thought you were worrying that we had too much fuel on board.
It's a fire hazard.
That's
I mean, you didn't even defuel that well because we were able to take off and fly as far as a desert island. So,
well, no, I just thought I can't be. I mean, bloody hell, I can't.
Well, you lose interest, don't you, in tasks like that.
Mike is obviously at the controls.
Yes,
Captain Mike,
old
at the controls.
Gunnar Wozniak,
hubristically. Thinking he can do it before crashing into an atoll in uncharted territory.
He's wearing, because of a mix-up on Amazon, he's wearing a sort of sexy pilot costume. Isn't he?
Three sizes too small.
He's absolutely squeezed into this thing.
Including the goggles.
So including the goggles.
Terrific bloody headache by this point.
The goggles are they're way too small for you. They're just clamped around the sort of bridge of your nose, aren't they? And the straps are actually going across your eyeballs. So you've got straps right into your eyeballs.
No one's told me I didn't need them because the plane's got a windscreen. And also, you're fine without.
And you're stubbornly, I think, I paid for these on Amazon. I'm going to bloody wear them.
I'm in the seat behind Mike. I, thinking we had enough fuel to reach America where we were going to claim asylum, have eaten the buffet entirely. So there's no more buffet left. That's gone.
You've eaten the whole buffet.
Henry's forgotten to bring the map. He's supposed to be navigating. So he's in a panic. He's illustrating his own new map. He's just colouring a sheet of paper blue.
By the way, but it's not fair to say I forgot to bring the map. Mm. My view, my take on the situation was that from a bird's eye view, from a plane, the world basically is a map. I mean, it's a map. That's
it's its own map.
It's the map of itself. It's 100% accurate.
You've seen the beginning of EastEnders. That's similar.
You just zoom out.
Exactly. Yeah. You've zoomed out when you're in a plane.
As far as you can tell, as long as we're going over the sea, we're going in the right direction.
And the fact that we can't see land is because Mike hasn't gone high enough.
But I'm trying to avoid radar and albatross. That's why I've got to stay low. I've explained this.
The way I see it is, as long as we fly at right angles to the waves, then we're heading towards America, because the waves come in from the...
They come from America. Waves come from America, just the same as jeans and sneakers.
Jeans and sneakers and waves. They come from America.
And blockbuster movies.
They're one of their greatest exports. And the waves move across the ocean and they crash or break onto the West
Cornwall,
the west of Britain,
Cornwall,
right? Hence the Gulf Stream, hence Lizard's Point. Yeah. All those lizards come in on the waves and accumulate at Lizard's Point. Yeah.
Hence the fact the UK is slowly being nudged towards Oslo.
The Oslo nudge.
Inch by inch.
The Vikings' revenge. So obviously Mike turns around and he says, the fuel gauge says we've got no fuel left. Henry, you were meant to refuel. Henry, you explained that you've defueled.
Yeah. I then mentioned that I have heard that you can use piss as fuel. I think I heard that once.
And you, having been on a bender the night before, you feel that your piss is most likely to be...
dark, frothy, airplane fuel piss.
I'm chocker with the good stuff. Yeah. So...
So you clamber outside.
I clamber out
onto the chassis.
Of the chassis. I find the petrol nozzle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I realise I've forgotten if it's one of those ones that where you need to press a button in the cockpit to release it or not.
But luckily, it isn't. But it does need a key, so you have to then get back in, take the key out of the ignition,
get the key out. So you have to put the thing on clutch. Do you have to put the clutch down?
Put
it in neutral. You hoik out the key. Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily, because we're going over the world, there's a natural curvature, so we are technically going downhill. So I can coast for a bit.
Always going slightly downhill because the Earth obviously rotates left to right, which also creates the illusion of movement. So it's hard to know whether you are moving or if you're on the spot, isn't it? It's one of those,
or if we've just stalled.
Or if you've stalled, so you can get a bit car sick. I clamber back to the nozzle. At that point, I forget. I can't remember if my piss is unleaded or not.
And if it is unleaded, is it safe to use
at this
E10? Whether or not that level of biofuel is going to harm the engine. Yeah. We point out we're in a crisis anyway. It's probably worth a punt anyway. There's no fuel.
Also, am I one of those 1 in 10 people that still pisses diesel? And is that allowed? Does it comply with ULEZ? Are we in the congestion zone? Probably not. Rule that out.
Shouldn't we all be trying harder for the environment? All these thoughts racing through my mind. Have you got time to construct some solar panels on the wings, for example? Ben's got his aviator shades. It's all mirrors, isn't it?
It's all 30 mirrors.
Solar panels? Maybe they'll do the job.
Could we become the first self-sustainable small aircraft hovering on the spot while the world rotates underneath it?
With a constant stream of piss.
Constant stream of piss. Well, drinking water regurgitated from seagulls, right. Essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we can turn Mike's very, very tight, sexy pilot's outfit into a seagull costume for me, I could strike up a relationship with... potentially with our seagulls.
Well, it's reversible, isn't it? It's on one side, it's a sexy airplane captain, and then if you flip it on the other side,
we just have to hope it's
a sexy seagull.
It's a sexy seagull outfit,
and also waterproof.
Yeah. So get the sexy seagull outfit on me, and in theory, I could
tow it.
I could potentially tow it.
Tow it.
It depends how good the seagull outfit is. I mean, if it's one of those ones where you can fly, then I could tow it.
If it isn't, then you could still tow it, but you'd be towing us directly down.
So, yeah, a lot going on.
But what happens ultimately is that it turns out that you can't fuel a plane with piss. But that comes as a surprise to us all.
I can't fuel a plane with piss. And also the nozzle's flown off. I've lost the lid. The lid's flown off.
But not the nozzle. Your nozzle's your old boy, right?
My nozzle!
Your nozzle's your old fella. That's flapping about at terrific speeds.
Like a windsock.
My nozzle has got that effect that you get on James Bond's face when he's... trying out a centrifuge machine. That's what's happening on my human nozzle.
I'm having a hard time picturing that, Henry, but sure.
Meanwhile, we're getting closer and closer to sea level. We see there is a coral atoll that we could land on, but hang on, who's already on there? It's bloody Amelia Earhart. She's there. We're the first person to see her in decades. She won't let us land. She just waves the bird at us. Get stuffed. This is my desert island. We've got to find the next desert island, which is another mile away. Disaster.
Absolute disaster.
The only hope now is that I can skim it. I can skim the plane.
Well, I'm using the seagull outfit. I've still got a little bit of buoyancy from that.
So Mike's naked?
Mike's naked.
Apart from the goggles.
And it's not lost on Ben that Mike is in great shape at the moment. It's not lost on him, despite the crisis that's going on.
Yeah, he's feeling a bit body shamed, having just eaten all of the travel buffet that we brought with us.
Ben's feeling a little bit body shamed, though. But what you both are doing is pushing up. By pushing up on the lid or roof of the plane.
Yeah, it's the emergency anti-gravity measure.
The anti-grav measure. Obviously, it can't last forever. Otherwise, that's how planes would all work. But it does, it can...
Well, you lose strength eventually, don't you? You tie, and that's why planes
land. You lose
land.
Strength, otherwise it would work. But you're able to push up a bit. That keeps us just above sea level. And eventually, we skim to quite a surprisingly...
We skim. We've got to make sure that we try and rotate. We've got to spin it, because obviously, if you're skimming a stone, you want it to have a bit of spin on it, right? So at the last minute, we all quickly swivel to the left.
Swivel to the left.
So the whole plane is just spinning. Yeah.
And it skims like a stone skimmed by a schoolboy.
Exactly. And it's probably a seven bounce skim, I reckon. Ooh. We only make 5 bounces before we crash in hard into the side of a sperm whale.
And with each of those bounces, Ben's regretting eating that buffet more and more, isn't it? Each bounce is like, oh, bloody hell. I shouldn't have eaten all 5 of the Scotch eggs.
Also, the very quick change in atmospheric pressure is doing terrible things to my gut. So I'm, I'm in absolute turmoil.
Digestive tract talk.
Ben is basically, to put it charitably, he's shitting out of every orifice, isn't he? And hard.
His ears have popped.
His ears have popped.
As has his small intestine. Yeah,
everything's popping. Everything that's poppable can pop. He's like human bubble wrap. It's just...
We come to rest in the side of a sperm whale, about 150 yards from land, from our unoccupied desert island. And at that point, we've just got to swim for it.
Luckily, because of the pressure, the extreme pressure change and how fast it was, Ben's belly button has completely prolapsed out.
Turning it into like a dorsal fin.
Also, the pressure change has also sort of crushed you to about a quarter of your ordinary size.
Yeah.
So Henry is almost pocket-sized.
I'm almost
pocket-sized.
But Mike, you're unbothered by the pressure change because you're in such good shape.
Mike's in such good shape.
Because I've been eating my greens, I'm unaffected by atmospheric pressure changes. Right, let's stop now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.